Talk 770 AM 92.5 FM WVNN. Phil Williams, Rightside Radio, solid and conservative and just plain right. Hey, listen, we got so much on the plate today. The triple dipper for the day is going to keep me busy. I mean, I was just texting with a friend earlier, and he said, you know, hey, are you gonna get on that topic about the government shutdown? I said, if I can get to it. I mean, it is that stacked right now in terms of news and things that I think are got to be covered. And so I started off this whole thing earlier in my monologue describing the nanny state. And folks, when I say that, understand that's a real thing. The nanny state is when the government believes it knows better than you, therefore it must intervene in your lives to try to make things better for you, and then in doing so, too often the government winds up making worse for you, and then they blame you because they don't think you did what you were supposed to do when they had laid it out for you so clearly and mandated you do certain things, and yada, 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 yada. It just keeps on going, and it never stops, and it's because there is this illusion of power that too often pervades the halls of government. And by that, I'm not meaning just elected officials. Regulatory burdens are part of the nanny state too. Regulatory burdens are amazing. Listen, as an attorney, I see it all the time. You know, I'm a litigator, I'm in court, but I also do things in probate, and then I also do a lot of real estate work. You'd be amazed the documents you have to sign. If you haven't bought a house lately, oh boy, let me tell you, in 2016, it got even worse. So in 2016, they changed all the rules and regs about how we conduct real estate closings. The documents that I have to get signed are unbelievable. I mean, I've got one that I describe it to folks and I say, okay, this next document, just so you understand, under the Patriot Act, I've got to get you to verify in your own handwriting that you are not a terrorist, because I feel certain you would tell me if you were. That's the government making sure you're protected by getting you to confirm that you are not a threat to the government. Okay, how about another one I've got to get? And this is under Alabama law, but I've got one where I have to, by law, under state code, offer them an opportunity to buy a little bit of insurance at the closing. It's called a closing protection letter. My description of this is the government mandating that I offer you an opportunity to purchase insurance, usually for the buyer who's paying money in. It's $25 extra dollars on top of what they may already have paid. For the seller, it's $50 because they're the ones cashing out or taking checks with them when they leave. It's there ostensibly to buy insurance to protect them in case I was to run off with the money or lose the money before they cash their checks. At one point, I did finally have somebody look at me and say, so basically, I'm going to pay you to protect me from you. And I said, yes. And in 20 years of doing those real estate closings, I have had maybe two people buy a closing protection letter because they quickly see how ridiculous it is to have the nanny state suggesting to them they need to be offered an opportunity to pay me to protect them from me. And folks, when you see stuff like this, you think, all right, and I was in the halls of government as a state senator for 8 years. I saw things come up and I would have to go to the microphone and say, are you really sure this is what you want to do? Because what you're doing right now is you're mandating certain things that are unenforceable. Or you're mandating certain things that are not the role of government. Or you're mandating certain things that are just going to get in the way. No, this is important. We got to do this. We got to do this. Okay, have you just created an unfunded mandate? What's that? Well, that's when you just directed the local governments or the individuals to do this thing, never mind what it costs them to have to do the thing that you said they have to do. But okay, I understand. It's very important because you're in government and you understand things they don't understand back home, right? Except I guarantee if they were not in office, they wouldn't want to have to put up with it. Or if they were not a bureaucrat, they wouldn't want to put up with it. It amazes me sometimes how people just see this stuff and they go, well, that's a good idea. I need to do something. I saw this thing on the news and I need to do something. And sometimes they're well-meaning and good intentioned. I don't know. Maybe there's things that I've done without realizing it when I was a state senator. But by and large, I felt like my role was very often to go to the microphone and say, excuse me, I got to ask the question, why are we doing this? You know, right now, Alabama has a law that allows for marriage to be a matter of pure contract. You don't have to have a ceremony anymore. And I think that's a shame. And it got down, that bill, and my good friend Greg Albretton was the one who sponsored it for a number of years. He took a lot of heat because some people believed he was doing it trying to avoid having probate judges have to do same-sex marriages. He proclaimed multiple times that was not his intent. But I, on the other hand, wound up being the only senator, the only one, for years. And by the way, they passed it after I left. I think it was after I left. At the very least, I got outvoted when the time came. But I was the only senator who opposed that because I believed it was not government's role to stand in the way of having this solemn ceremony of marriage and making it so easy that marriage was reduced to nothing but a marital contract at that point. And folks, I'm just telling you, when government gets busy, government can do stuff because government's government. But there are times when you look at it and go, I should render under Caesar that which is Caesar's. But was this really Caesar's role this time? And so, folks, I'm just telling you, you've got to watch out for the nanny state. And it goes way beyond the things I've talked about. You heard me talk about some of the ridiculous laws that have been passed in other places, things that go right down into your pocketbook, things that decide, you know, that hotels can't use, have to use fitted sheets, or things that decide that you can't have a Happy Meal toy. A bunch of Grinches can't have a Happy Meal toy. No, that might encourage the child to go and eat foods that were cooked in trans fats. Oh, by the way, we're not going to cook them in trans fats anymore. Wonderful. Thank you, California. The rest of the world's now a better place because of you. No. More often than not, I would say that most of that stuff, I bet 90% of it that comes out of those good intentions, winds up being more like nanny state. Just getting in the way, getting in your business. When we come back from this next break here in a minute, I've got some clips I'm going to play you. It's interesting to watch what's happening. The nanny state is so involved right now in keeping you from having a say in your children's education. The nanny state's involved right now in crushing industries, the airline industry, any number of things. And they're so full of doublespeak, they won't even use the real terms that we use. They try to couch it in secret terms, using government speak. Folks, it's hilarious. So we'll spend a little more time on the nanny state when we get back. I think you're going to enjoy it. But you also got to watch out for it. Phil Williams, News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. And listen live to us wherever you are, by the way. Go to rightsideradio.org, rightsideradio.org. And we can be with you wherever you is, there we is. Listen, folks, we got more. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams here, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right, we like to say. That's because we are. And we got a great audience out there, a bunch of right side ruffians. People out there who look at the world and they see liberals for what they are. And they say, you know what? Not on my watch. And I love that. What a great audience. Copper, I also have a great wife. Do you know that? I mean, I do. Copper. You know what you just did?
Yes.
So Charlene heard me. She's out running errands. She was driving near the studio. She heard me say I'd already eaten half my ration of chocolate. She just stopped by and brought me more.
Excellent.
There is no, you know, the audience is going to think that I weigh like 300 pounds and I'm diabetic or something, but no, folks, I promise. I work out regular and I stay in shape and all that, but I do like a little chocolate from a show. I think it makes things run a little smoother, but hey, so we're in the nanny state. All right, Copper, I got a quiz for you. You ready?
Yes.
All right. What if you had to pick a new term for illegal immigrants or the fact of, you know, undocumented migrants, they used to call them, what would you call it? If you were a liberal.
If I was a liberal.
Which you're not.
Displaced at risk foreign individuals.
Oh, Lord. That was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
No, but you know what? So in the military, I was trained in non-combatant evacuations and refugee ops, and we actually had, they called them displaced civilians. So there's you were tracking. But however, the latest one out of the nanny state up in D.C. is irregular migration.
Irregular.
It's irregular migration, which, you know, Like, for instance, I guess if someone was to go shoplifting now, that could be considered irregular shopping.
Yeah.
Because it's a crime, but it's irregular, not illegal anymore. We don't say that. We don't say that. The nanny state. So one of the hallmarks of the nanny state, by the way, is no accountability. No accountability. Ain't none. Couldn't be the government causing a problem. And if you think it is, we'll change the language just to confuse the issue.
Well, so that's it's now what the Black Lives Matter protests were. Irregular protests.
They were irregular protests. Yes, Antifa, that was just irregular, peaceful protesting. Or largely peaceful protesting. All right, so let's see. What's another one here on my list? So copper, there's a $3.5 trillion bill that the nanny state is trying to float right now to do some amazing things. It won't be called a bill for building roads and bridges. It's a different... What would you call that, all the social welfare programs they have built into that bill?
Reinvigorating America?
Well, with you know
debt.
What? Are you sure you're not a liberal? Because you're coming up with these pretty well. I'm sorry. That was rude of me. I did not mean... I was kidding. You realize I was kidding, right?
Better be.
Okay. I am. Human infrastructure. You and I, Copper, are human infrastructure. That's how you justify a bill that's a spending bill on things that are not necessarily infrastructure. You have to call it human infrastructure so you can pass it as a budget bill. That's an important piece. Just understand. So listen, what I'm saying here, folks, is the nanny state, what they do is one of the hallmarks of nanny state activities is to ensure that there is no accountability for those who run the nanny state. And if you begin to question, they can change the language. It's what they do. They can find a new acronym. They can find a new term. They can merge terms. They can basically change the language to some degree so that it doesn't seem near as, you know, difficult to deal with. I mean, we've seen it for years. I mean, I don't know when it happened, but remember back when the word gay used to mean happy? You don't hear it defined that way anymore. Gay has become something entirely different. It's the homosexual lifestyle. It's a changing of the words. And so when you begin to use that changing of the words, you take away all of the fear. Well, listen, I'm just going to tell you right now, it ain't gonna fly. The nanny state is in your business in a big way. And so I got several examples here, and I got some clips we're going to play here in a minute, one from Laura Ingraham, which I think is really good. The nanny state, by the way, one of the things it does is it will create the issue and then blame you when the issue they created doesn't go well. And that's amazing to me. Well, one of the classic examples is education. Education is a function of government. I get it. But then you've got things like, what are they doing in our education environment? Why would they bring in all these social justice programs? Why are they doing things? And by the way, why are parents being told they don't have a role? Well, parents do have a role. I mean, it's their kids, right? Parents and legal guardians have to have a say, unless you are someone who advocates for the nanny state. At that point, only the nanny state can tell you what's good. Classic example yesterday, Terry McAuliffe, longtime Democrat, an activist in his own right, previously served as governor of Virginia, is now running for governor of Virginia again. I mean, he's already had two terms as governor. And so now he's running for governor again. And McAuliffe said yesterday in a debate, so Youngkin, the Republican who's running against him, argued that parents should be more involved in the decisions of the local school districts, to which Terry McAuliffe replied, I don't think parents should be telling schools what they should teach. What? So if a parent has a problem, they're not allowed to have a say because the nanny state knows better. Don't you understand? We're the government and we're here to help. That's the nanny state. No accountability. We know better. Sit idly by. We'll take care of you. That's what we do. Well, Youngkin quickly refuted that. But the classic examples of these in education are everywhere right now. We had one example yesterday of a woman who went back to the school board, demanded an opportunity to speak to them, and read to them from the pornographic material that was being given to students to write papers about. It was awful. I mentioned on the show the other day. The school board was embarrassed because they didn't even realize it was in there. So according to Terry McAuliffe, she should never have done that. The school board has now pulled that material from the classrooms because a mother came and spoke up. How about this? In California, right now, California parents are requesting that a judge, they're in court, a judge block public schools from asking students to pray to Aztec gods. I hear this stuff and I think, what? Well, they had to go to court to stop a California public school system's institution of teaching Aztec religions and encouraging the children to chant and pray to the Aztec gods in classrooms. And Copper, I see you who are saying that pagan religions are really in right now. Yes, they are all the rage. I know that there are some incredible tattoos you can get to go along with those. But reality is this, that bears no place in the classroom. And if the parents have a problem with it, they shouldn't have to go and sue the school district to be heard. But the nanny state believes if you want to have a say in this, we'll see you in court because we know better than you. Well, here's some more. Vaccine mandates. All the rage right now. It's all the thing. We're going to mandate. You should. It's a pandemic of the unvaccinated. Not really. It's a pandemic. If you're vaccinated, you're supposed to be immune. Except that we're finding out that doesn't necessarily extend to reality. And by the way, I'm not anti-vax. But what I'm telling you is this. You cannot keep, as a government, expanding your reach into someone's healthcare decisions to the point that they're not allowed to make their own healthcare decisions, and then going into the private sector and mandating certain things to the extent that some companies are getting on board with Biden's vaccine mandates and others are not. Here's a classic example. United Airlines, story on the Daily Caller that I pulled up this morning. United Airlines announced on Tuesday that it is starting the process of terminating 593 employees. 593 employees who failed to comply with the company's COVID vaccine mandates. Now, they report that they're going to have quite a few, but they're still firing almost 600. However, other airlines, American Airlines, Alaskan Airlines, Delta Airlines, they've all encouraged vaccinations, but no requirements. Southwest Airlines has an incentive program offering a bonus if you'll get a vaccination, but they're not, no firings. Delta Airlines is going to pay you a $200 surcharge to your insurance, but they're not going to mandate that you get vaccinated. You know what's going to wind up happening? There's 593 United Airlines employees who are going to either get another job or they're going to go to one of these other airlines that doesn't have a mandate. That's what's going to happen. And United is going to wind up having the crunch to have to figure out what to do next. Well, listen, so the vaccine mandate's extending into the healthcare industry. And I know you've been hearing this because I've been talking about it on the show. And all you right side ruffians out there who are with us most often, you've heard me talk about UAB. UAB had a vaccine mandate or face firing right here in the state of Alabama, and they backed off because the Alabama Center for Law and Liberty and our attorney general collaborated and got a letter to them that said, that's in violation of our state law. You can't do that. And they agreed, and they backed off. Meanwhile, St. Vincent's Hospital, privately owned as opposed to UAB, which is state owned, St. Vincent's in Birmingham is pushing forward, as far as I know, with a vaccine mandate or termination. Well, I guarantee you a bunch of St. Vincent's employees who have already expressed that they are not going to get the vaccine are going to go across town and get hired by UAB. But in New York, it's statewide because the government got so full of itself that it said all healthcare workers will be fired as of a couple of nights ago. And they're creating a true staffing crisis. Copper, you got clip 7. I see you're ready. Let's see if we can do this. Go ahead and play clip 7. Laura Ingram talking about healthcare workers and what it does.
Well, and now the staffing shortages due to the mandates are getting worse by the day. In Texas, there's a crippling nursing shortage driven in part by the decisions of hospitals like Houston Methodist that fired unvaccinated workers. Then in upstate New York, hospitals are in a bind, too. In Erie County Medical Center in Buffalo, roughly 400 people are unvaccinated and on leave. We stopped elective inpatient surgeries. We stopped some of our outpatient visits. We stopped ICU medical transfers, said President and CEO Tom Quatroche. New York State's largest healthcare provider, Northwell Health, has already fired about 24 of its managers. The North Carolina-based provider, Novant Health, fired almost 200 employees. Now, think about the insanity of this for a moment. The politicians and the public health officials who ordered us, begged us to stay home, to wear masks, to cancel church, sports, forego weddings, all the other things you like to do, in order to save the healthcare system, they're now the ones actively sabotaging the healthcare system.
That's amazingly well put. Amazingly well put. And as we move into this short break we're about to do, just keep that in mind. That's a classic example of what happens when the nanny state says one thing, does another. Creates the issue. Oh yeah, there's problems with the issue we created. It must be your fault because you're the unvaccinated. Oh, wait a minute. Now we can't do elective surgeries? I'm sorry. Oh, now we have to cancel labor and delivery at our hospital and make you drive to the next town over to get labor and delivery taken care of? Well, that's not our fault if they just gotten vaccinated. Folks, I'm just telling you, it's on and on and on. We'll cover more on it when we get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative. Yep, just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams here, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. And listen, I got to tell you, I said it briefly earlier, but I'm going to elaborate now. If you find yourself driving outside of the overly broad range of AM, FM capability for WVNN, which means you're pretty much out of South Tennessee and out of North Alabama, well, then just know this. You can take us wherever you are. We got folks in all kinds of other states. We got people that listen from South Carolina, from Virginia, from Tennessee, from, oh, gosh, where? Jeff from Indiana calls in all the time. I got my brother Jerome in Rome or Georgia. And so, listen, if you want to listen to us no matter where you are, all you got to do is go to rightsideradio.org. That's rightsideradio.org. And click on the Listen Live. And like I always say, wherever you is, there we is. So just listen to us live no matter where you are. And listen, the nanny state is literally determined right now to do more than it's ever done. And it's literally determined right now to make a mess of things and then blame you for it. And ostensibly to help benefit you, right? So this vaccine mandate, for instance, up in New York, they are losing medical practitioners on a daily basis who chose of their own volition to not get the shot. And again, I'm not anti-vax, but I am anti-mandate. And they have chosen not to get vaccinated. Therefore, the state of New York has started firing people from private hospitals, firing them, losing their jobs. In the meantime, hospitals are coming up with major shortages in staffing because they're having to fire people because the government's trying to help people by making them get a shot they don't want to get. Got a call on line three. I'll go ahead and take Mike from Huntsville about nurses in New York. It's a good timing. Hey, Mike, Phil Williams here from Right Side. What's on your mind?
Hey, Phil. As far as the mandates in New York, it's another aspect to it that worries me that I don't know if anybody's thinking much about. You know, if they're mandating this and then they're firing all these healthcare workers, if they're essentially creating kind of an emergency situation where they could possibly declare a state of emergency from a situation that they actually created.
Yeah, that's a fair assessment. And then would the federal government be required to give them assistance for the disaster
exactly.
they created? I don't know.
You know, they always use the emergencies to, you know, try to get more power or implement more power. Well, here you've got the actual government creating the emergency and then possibly turning around and declaring a state of emergency.
Well, and that's, you know, Mike, it's a great call. Thanks for the call, Mike. We appreciate you being in the audience, by the way. That's a pretty cogent analysis. What happens if the healthcare in New York State becomes so critical that they have to declare a state? And actually, take it back. You know what? If I recall correctly, when Governor Hochul, we played her clip the other day, when she gave her speech, she said that she was initiating an executive order to give herself emergency powers to be able to activate the National Guard to fill in some of the hospital roles for those who have been terminated for not getting vaccine, which, by the way, means that a National Guard doctor who is a doctor back home in a civilian capacity is now going to have to leave his practice and his healthcare setting to go fill in for someone else who was terminated by the government, and so they brought him in. It's just, it's a ridiculous self-licking ice cream cone. That's what it is. Copper, you had a comment right before we went to the in the last break, I think. What were you commenting on that we were talking about?
Well, I, you know, of course, think it's terrible that people aren't being able to get the procedures they need, but also from a practical perspective, this means they're going to get sued a whole lot sooner because so many people are being affected already. So hopefully this is going to end.
I guarantee you, and I see a variety of lawsuits. You're spot on, Copper. So I see a variety of lawsuits. I see those who lost their livelihood. I see those what if you're a medical practitioner and you have a part ownership in the business? You're not allowed to even operate in your own business now.
Wow.
Or what if you have still outstanding government-backed student loans from having gone to nursing school or whatever? Now you can't pay them back. Now the government fired you, but the government wants you to pay back the loans you borrowed through the government. Or if then, how about the ones like labor and delivery at that that upstate New York hospital? They canceled labor and delivery because they have no means of staffing it. So what happens if someone lives further away from the hospital where they can get it, and they can't get there in time, and something happens to the baby during delivery because they're on the side of the road trying to deliver a child? And I'm just telling you, the government's creating the issue, and they're going to defer, and they're going to claim that it was the unvaccinated's fault, because surely the government can't be at fault. When the nanny state acts and you don't respond the way the nanny state wants you to respond, it's your fault, not theirs. All right, folks, I'm going to move to the next topic in the Triple Dipper. That's enough of the nanny state for right now. We're going to get into Afghanistan hearings because, man, they got interesting. Like, we learned stuff, really learned it. And the finger pointing in D.C. is, I mean, it's going hard. It's like finger pointing of the OK Corral right now. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. We will be right back.